Hi friends, this is Brock Polk, and I want to thank you for downloading this sermon from Heritage Church of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. Our mission is to lead others to a thriving relationship with Jesus, and if you're ready to take a next step in your faith journey after you listen to this message, you can contact us through our website at www.heritagechurchofchrist.org. God bless you, and I hope you enjoy the following message.
One of my favorite things about the big holiday and the meals that most of us got to share with family this week was the fact that we got to catch up with relatives that we just don't see very often. We had some aunts and uncles around our table that we really only see about once a year and wish that it was more frequent than that. But when family gets together, especially family that hasn't seen each other in quite some time, isn't it great to be able to share some stories with one another? And sometimes you share stories of things that have happened recently, but maybe what's more valuable is when you reshare stories of things that have happened in the distant past. And you remember the things that have shaped your family. You remember the events that made you laugh together and the events that made you cry together and the events that you're still processing after all of these years. We had one of those moments around the table on Thursday. It was a great moment for our family. We sat and ate our meal, and as we were, kind of slipping into that turkey coma there, my son had a great idea, and he said, "Hey, we've got these little question cards." In fact, they were provided here at church by our children's ministry program, and he pulled out these question cards. He said, "Let's go around the table, and I'll ask a question to everybody going around the table and have them answer." And it was a really neat experience for us because it let us hear about some people's most embarrassing moment and let us hear about what my daughter would change if she was president of the United States, and so it would be really exciting if that happened, it turns out. But it also fostered some opportunities for us to be able to tell stories. My son got to hear, maybe for the first time, about the time in my freshman year of college when I bought a pot-bellied pig and had it live in the dorm with me for a few weeks. He needed to hear that story, that's important. My aunt, or my wife's aunt, got the chance to tell about a time when she was in third grade, coincidentally the same grade that my son is in now, when she regrets not standing up for a classmate who was being teased and ridiculed in her class. And those kinds of stories, those kinds of lessons are the things that teach as they're taught, right? Teach as they're told. The kinds of stories that as you retell them, you kind of say, "Hey, this is who we are. This is who we want to be. This is the vision that we are casting for you." And how important is it for us as we raise up our children, as we influence our nieces and nephews, as we raise up grandchildren, to be able to cast vision for the kind of story we hope that they live into, right? In fact, if you look around at statistics, you'll find actually a very disappointing increase in the number of people who are walking away from church, but you also find a correlated relationship, a correlation there between families that are breaking apart, families that are becoming disconnected, and part of the result that sociologists are finding is that children don't know the story that they are supposed to live into. And what a disappointment. What a sad state of affairs. And we believe, in fact, we are convicted that part of our responsibility as a community of faith is to help one another to instill the story of faith into the lives and the minds and hearts of our children. In fact, there's a passage of Scripture that you may not be very familiar with, but I want to call your attention to this morning. If you've got a Bible with you, it's in Psalm 78. So right about the middle of your Bible, if you open up there, you're going to find yourself in the Psalms. And the Psalms are basically an ancient hymn book or a song book that people would use for worship. It's a collection of poems and writings that people created as they tried to live out and express their connection and their experience with God. Psalm chapter 78 is actually written by a guy who was a worship leader, all right? I mean, this was a guy who spent his life helping other people to express the story of God. And this is Old Testament. This is stuff that happened before the life of Christ. But this is a man who had learned his story from the generations that had come before. And now he's looking to the generation around him and saying, hey, we've got a job to do. This is the second longest psalm in the entire hymn book there, and so we're not going to read the entire thing. We're going to read the first seven verses or so, but I want you to listen to the encouragement that he gives to the people that he is connected to as he says, we've got a job to do for our kids here. He says, "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable." Now, when we read Jesus' stories, we're used to parables. We're used to Jesus using a made-up story to tell an actual truth. This is a little bit different. He's going to talk about the actual story of Israel and create some application from that. He says, "I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories that we have heard and known, stories that our ancestors handed down to us." You know, I'm convicted by the stories that my grandparents told me because they helped to shape the identity that I carry with me even now. And this was this man's experience. He says, all the stories that we have been collectively hearing from our Jewish ancestors, they've shaped us. And that's what we're going to talk about in this writing, he says. He says, we're not going to hide, verse 4, we're not going to hide these truths from our children. We are going to tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Now, when you're thinking about a couple of thousand years ago, a Jewish man saying, we're going to tell our children about the mighty acts of God, some of the things he has in mind are, can you remember the story that our grandparents told about how their grandparents walked through the Red Sea on dry land? Can you remember the story that your great uncle told you a few times about how his grandfather drank water out of a rock in the middle of the desert, all because God made that happen? These are the kinds of stories that he has in mind. He says, we're going to tell the next generation those stories. And here's why. Verse 5, he says, because God issued his laws to Jacob, all right? We're talking about the nation of Israel. It's kind of a nickname that the scripture uses for this nation of Israel. He issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. Why? So that the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and that they in turn would teach their own children. Don't you want your grandchildren to know something about your story? Don't you want your great-great-grandchildren, the ones who are born even maybe after you're gone, to know something about what was important to you, about what your priorities were, about what directed the course of your life? This is what we're talking about. This psalm writer is saying these stories, they've been shaping our people for generations, and now it falls to us to be able to pass these along so that they shape the next generation. He says, verse 7, each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and also obeying his commands. He says, this is so important. It's so important. God gave us these rules, these instructions, these laws, and these stories and experiences so that our children would know them, so that our children would learn to trust in God for their hope, so that our children would be motivated to follow and obey God the way that we have been drawn to follow and obey God. Doesn't this sound important? Doesn't this sound crucial? Even if you're not a parent of any young children, even if you don't have any kids of your own, you can imagine how critical this is for a collection of people, for a group of people who are trying to live into a story that means something, right? You know, we live in an unprecedented time in the life of the church. Because of life expectancy and the extension of that and how long people are living, we live in an age in the church where it's not uncommon for us to have six generations of people represented in our church at any one time. That's astounding. It's incredible. And what an opportunity it is. And so we want to make sure that we are working together as a church. And we believe families have incredible responsibility in the lives of their own children, but we want to make sure we're working together as a church to instill the stories of God's mighty work, the stories of God's love, and God's instruction and His design and His desire for us into the lives of our children. And I want to tell you a little bit this morning about some of the great things that are happening here at Heritage to accomplish those goals. As you may know, a week from today, it's the annual event of our year-end special offering where we have a chance to support some significant ministries that are in our community, some ministries that are housed here at Heritage that reach out. But the two largest recipients of the contribution that happens next Sunday are our ministry to children and our ministry to students. We have placed these ministries in this special offering so that they can be pre-funded for the following calendar year. They are not going to have to be subject to any budget fluctuations or anything like that, because this is so important to us that we want to make sure these two ministries are funded. And so in just a moment, I'm going to invite our children's minister and our student minister up on the stage to talk a little bit about what's happening in those ministries. But I want you to just think about this statement and how it applies to your own life, because I think it's true that if we're grateful to God, if we're thankful for who God is and what God has done in our life, then we're compelled to pass on, to instill that gratitude in the next generation. If we really feel like God has done something significant, if we really believe the songs that we sing that say, "For all that you've done, I will thank you," that say, "You have changed my life, how could I keep from singing and telling the stories of what you've done?" Then we are obliged to instill this gratitude into the next generation. And we need your help. And so for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to ask you to follow along. We're going to watch a little video highlighting some things that are happening in our children's ministry. And then we're going to get a chance to hear from Amy. Would you welcome to the stage our children's minister, Amy Newton, and our student minister, Marty Baker. Amy, Marty, we're thankful that you guys could break away for just a few minutes. I know that you've left other people in charge down there, right? I hope so.
Capable people.
Yeah. That's awesome. Amy, passing on faith, as we've been talking about, is so important to our families and our future. But we all know that kids learn differently from adults. There's a reason that kids are not in here listening to the sermons every week and that kind of thing. And tell us about the kind of learning environments that you're creating for kids at different grade levels and with different learning styles down the hall.
Sure. We have two different types of classes that we do. One is during the worship services that we have for you guys. We do kind of the same thing with preschool and elementary kids. I mean, of course, they start off playing, and then we do a lot more dancing, and it's a lot louder. But We have a very similar worship service with praying together, and we have an offering, which you guys saw, the animals and things that the kids have bought over the last couple of years. And that's what we do during our worship service time. And then we also have a Bible class time where they meet with small group leaders, the same leaders every week, that pray with them and get to really know them. And they also, in those Bible class times, get to do more interactive stuff and playing and baking and building and doing artwork. And everything feeds into the story of God and how they fit into the story.
Will you tell us a little bit about the way that you are partnering with parents and families to help them raise up their children to know who God is?
Sure. Well, we have each week we'll send home a take home that has the story that they're doing that week. And oftentimes it'll have questions or scripture that you as parents can go with the kids or through it with them and ask them about what they're learning about. And in addition to doing that each week, we also have milestone events that we do with the kids. And it starts at birth. We have a child dedication event, which used to be our baby blessing, but we really wanted it to be so much more. And so we've changed what that looks like to be more intentional to partner with you guys. And that's at birth. And then when they cross over from preschool to elementary, we'll have a big breakfast for them and a welcome for them to come into the new portion of ministry. And we give them a Bible at both of those different events so that they can learn about God with something that is age appropriate for them. And then as they leave or move up to intermediate into our power zone, we do crude night, which is what it sounds like. I mean, we're really crude and just have fun together, being messy and just silly. And they also get Bibles at that age. They just each kind of stair step so that it'll be where they're at developmentally.
Now, I know we've only touched the tip of the iceberg here for all of the events that you do over the course of the year, and we don't have time to list all of those, but you have one particular event for families and really for everybody in the church coming up this next week. Would you tell us about the Star?
Absolutely. There's a brand new movie out. It came out a week ago, and it's called The Star. And it is a story about the very first Christmas. And it's animated, and so it's definitely something that'll keep kids' attention. The story is told through the eyes of animals, and it's really a great story. I mean, they stick very much with what happened. I mean, I'm sure with the animals it's a little bit added, but you know. But the message of the movie is that a Savior is coming, and it is so noteworthy that what's happening, what this star is representing, is something that will make a difference in our lives for thousands of years. And the animals even get that. And so it's really neat. And we have, I think at the back of those little blue tables, we have some flyers that have a QR code if you guys are interested in going. Everyone is welcome to go. We're going at 4:30 next Sunday. And we've rented out the entire theater, and so, or at least one theater. But anyway, we would love to have you guys come and join us.
To have you be a part of that. Absolutely. And finally, Amy, when we look at Jesus in the gospel stories, especially in the moments when he encountered children, he was so receptive and welcoming to kids. But on top of that, he even encouraged adults to strive for a childlike faith. And I wonder if you could tell us, what does that mean? And what could adults learn from children as they live out their connection to God?
Well, seeing children's faith is one of the most miraculous things that I've seen. I think that children trust that God is something that he really truly is, and they see him for being as big as he is. They might have a prayer for God to forgive everyone in the world's sins or to make sure that everybody has food, and they really truly realize how big he is. And I love the fact that they don't have limits. And they know that if the creator of the universe can make every little detail of what he has made, then he can accomplish anything that their brain can think up to pray for. And I really love to see that in them. And those are some of the most precious moments, is just listening to how big their faith really is.
Let's give Amy a hand. We are so thankful for the work that she does. We're so thankful for our student ministry and proud of the work that's going on down there. We are watching life change just absolutely before our eyes, and it's really neat to see. And so, Marty, would you tell us a little bit about the environment you're trying to create with your volunteers for students who show up maybe for the first time?
Yeah, and I love that you say that I am, and our volunteers are, and our students are, because it's really beyond just me. I mean, we've got an incredible group of adults, but also we've got an awesome group of students there that are really trying to make that place different. We hardly ever use the term youth group. We often say student ministry, because this is the ministry that the students are doing in this place. It's awesome to see. And we've got a leadership group that started up that they're trying to make things different. And really what we're kind of going for is that whenever somebody walks in, they would go, huh, that's not normal. Right. And that's actually something usually you would say about teenagers. But in this way, we want people to look at things and go, wow, that adult never once picked up their phone, and they focused on me. And I was introduced to an adult that was there last week and is here this week, and I know will be here next week. Whenever I walked in, there were students that came and talked to me. And normally that just doesn't happen. That's not normal. In fact, they were so kind and so welcoming and so caring. I'm kind of fascinated by that. And whenever they got into groups, they talked in real ways. They didn't just put on masks. And whenever we talked about things, they actually asked questions that I didn't think you were supposed to ask out loud at church. But they welcomed those questions, and they welcomed those doubts and some of those fears and things that they were dealing with. I mean, we want to create an atmosphere of fascination. I think that that's what grew the early church, was that people would look at the disciples and all those followers and go, those are the people that are turning the world upside down. There's just something that's different about them, and I can't help but want to be part of that. And so that's what our leaders and our students are creating in that environment.
Okay, so once you get somebody in and they feel comfortable and they feel fascinated and they feel welcomed, what's the goal? What's the purpose of the student ministry after that?
Yeah, our purpose really isn't that different from the purpose of our church. Our goal is to lead students into thriving relationships with Jesus. And we truly believe that if that is their foundation, then everything that they build on top of that foundation of Jesus and his teachings will be better for it. It's the same thing that Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount after he does all this teaching. He says, look, whoever hears these things and puts them into practice will be like a wise person who built their house on a rock. And the winds and the waves and the rains and everything comes, but their house that they've built stands strong because they built on those teachings. We had a middle school student about 2 weeks ago who first showed up to our group about 6 months ago. She was sitting in worship, and as we started discussing stuff, she goes, you know, My life really hasn't changed much. I mean, a lot of the things that happened around me before I came to this church still happen. But I got to tell you that my life is so much different because I respond to those things differently. I know Jesus, and I know other people that love Jesus around me. And so the way that my life goes is so much different now that I've been at this church, because of who Jesus is and the way that I respond to those things. Even though those winds and those rains and everything still happen, I still have a foundation that moves me forward. And that's what we want for our students. That's exactly it, is that as they form friendships at school, that they would be founded on who Jesus is. That as they go from school into their jobs or into their marriages, that every house that they choose to build will be built on a foundation of who Jesus is. And so that's the environment that we create. That's the purpose that we are trying to fulfill in this place.
Praise God for that life story and that one student's life, but all the other stories just like it that we're hearing from your ministry. And tell us about kind of the nuts and bolts. What are some of the events and the programs that are happening that allow these goals to become a reality?
Well, we've got all kinds of different events. As you can assume, with middle school and high school, we try to have events all the time. We do a lot of different things for a lot of different groups of students because our goal is to lead students into thriving relationships with Jesus, which doesn't just mean the students that show up in a room at that end of the building, but our goal is for us to lead all students into that place. And so even if it's a friend of a student who shows up down there, or if it's a student that lives in a house right back here behind our building, but is never come here. We want to create events and environments that are welcoming to them. So we do things like, you saw bubble soccer up there. That was a lot of fun. It was even more fun for some of our leaders to get out there and go, yeah, I'm going to go hit that kid. But we enjoy doing things like that where people can bring their friends, where they can get to know other people. So that, say, Grace Irvin brings a friend from school to paintball or an event that we have, then the next time that she brings them to church, it's not just Grace's friends, but Grace's friends also know Grace and Caden and Cade and Susie and several other people that are in our group because it's now their group. And beyond entry-level events, we have things like retreats and camps where we really dig deep and we talk about our future. We have events like service projects and all kinds of other things that we do. We have milestone events where we welcome our 7th graders and we launch our 12th graders and all in between. We try to have events that are very purposeful and intentional. But also, in addition to events, we have a program that is a little bit different in that, like I alluded to before, we stress two things. One is we wrestle with tensions. We don't shy away from them. We want them to be able to know it's okay to ask these questions because my youth minister just stood on stage and asked that question first, a question that I may have been wrestling with, but now he has audibly spoken in front of our whole group, and now we all wrestle with it together. And I have a leader that's going to step into a small group, and they're going to wrestle through that question with me. And so they know that they're not going to go to college and for the first time start vocalizing some of these questions with nobody else around them. You know, they're going to wrestle with those things now and the tension of what that is and how God impacts that in their life. But also, beyond the tensions, we want them to experience what faith is like. We want them to experience Jesus. This isn't some old family heirloom that's unwanted that we pass down to the next generation. No, our faith is alive and it is vibrant and it is active and it's powerful. And we want them to see that what they talk about on Sunday has an impact for them on Monday. And so we give them ways that they can experience this faith lived out on Monday through Friday and into Saturday, aside from just Sunday, because I can hear all I want about the Grand Canyon, right? So people can talk to me about how amazing the Grand Canyon is. And I can probably talk about the Grand Canyon too. But when I've gone and I've seen it, man, I mean, it's like a painting. I mean, anybody that's been to the Grand Canyon knows just how phenomenal it is and how deep it goes, and it just looks unreal, right? The same way that I talk about the Grand Canyon because I've been there is what we want our students to do with their faith. We want them to share it with their friends because they've been there, they've lived it, they have experienced it. It's tangible right there in front of them. It's not just something that they've heard about and they've learned about. So that's what we're trying to create as well.
Well, I am so, so thankful for the work that both of you are doing, also for the teams that you're leading. I know that the ministry is so much bigger than what you could do on your own, and God is empowering it. The reason I wanted you to hear all of those stories and about these ministries today is because, as you may know, a week from today is our special year-end offering. We do this every year, and it's an opportunity for us to bless a number of ministries, some of them out in our community, some of them international, that are making a difference on behalf of the kingdom of God. But the two ministries that benefit the most from this contribution next Sunday are our student ministry and our children's ministry. And the reason for that is because we want to make sure that those ministries are pre-funded for the following year. Their budgets are not subject to any kind of fluctuation or anything like that. We want to make sure that the funding and the resources for all of their programming that you just heard about is already in place so that we can make sure that we do the best job we know how of passing on the story of God to our kids. And so I want to invite you to be prayerfully considering how you'll participate in the year-end offering next week and helping us to make that dream a reality. But I also want to tell you that there are lots and lots of ways for you to help us communicate the gospel to our kids. You can be a volunteer in student ministry. You can be a volunteer in children's ministry. There are opportunities where you work directly with kids. There are opportunities where you work behind the scenes and you're helping do setup and you're helping do running events and all that kind of thing. And whatever skill you have, whatever talent you have, we have a space for you. And so I want you to consider that, because volunteering to help share faith with a kid may be the most important next step that ever happens in your faith journey as well.